The first century villains who hated Jesus concocted a plan to take his life.
Caiaphas despises Jesus because he has the audacity to expose the hypocrisy of the chief priests and the scribes and Pharisees. So they planned his murder. What they don't realize is that this death was planned before the foundations of the world. As we see God at work, bringing his son to the purpose of his coming.
From January until now, Chuck Swindoll has been guiding us through a fascinating eyewitness account of Jesus' life, the Gospel according to Matthew. And today on Insight for Living, we're in Matthew chapter 26. In this passage, we find the tension building among powerful politicians and religious zealots who conspired to take Jesus out. They hated him because Jesus was gaining in popularity. Little did they know that Jesus' life and death had been predestined before the foundations of the world. We'll begin by reading the passage together. Chuck titled his message, Countdown to Betrayal.
We're going through Matthew, and that's not important. What's important is that Matthew goes through us. There's a difference, isn't there? It's one thing just to gather information and kind of move from one chapter to another. It's another thing entirely for what we glean from what Matthew has written for our lives. So that we're different this week than we were last week because of something that stood out from what we heard or saw. The Lord showed us. We're in Matthew 26. I'll be reading these first 16 verses. And you'll observe a sharp contrast in brief vignettes. Don't miss them. You move from one scene to another, and they are in sharp contrast to each other. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. You may have another version, which you'll follow along in. They're pretty much the same. This one reads a little easier for those who don't bring a Bible or are not familiar with their Bibles. But once you have found Matthew 26, please stand together out of respect for the Word of God. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, "As you know, Passover begins in 2 days, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified. At that same time, the leading priests and elders were meeting at the residence of Caiaphas, the high priest, plotting how to capture Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the Passover celebration, they agreed, or the people may riot. Meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, a man who had previously had leprosy. While he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume and poured it over his head. The disciples were indignant when they saw this. What a waste, they said. It could have been sold for a high price and the money given to the poor. But Jesus, aware of this, replied, "Why criticize this woman for doing such a good thing to me? You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." She has poured this perfume on me to prepare my body for burial. I tell you the truth, wherever the good news is preached and throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 disciples, went to the leading priests and asked, "How much will you pay me to betray Jesus to you?" And they gave him 30 pieces of silver. From that time on, Judas began looking for an opportunity to betray Jesus.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To study the book of Matthew with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message from Chuck titled, Countdown to Betrayal.
The stench of death was in the air. No one knew it better than Jesus. The disciples had no idea. A few men met in secret planning a murder, not just any murder, but the murder of the Messiah. The disciples were still caught up in the pleasant scene that had been theirs along the slope of the Mount of Olives. Remember? Jesus had sat down and begun to review the plans for the future. They had asked a few questions and he, if you will, unloaded the truck of information, not only about immediate future, but the ultimate future, and their heads must have been swimming. Little do they realize that they were only hours from his breathing his last. Oh, he knew. He knew it all. Matthew, looking back in recording the events, remembered the salient issues that were worth recording. And so when he sat down to put his account together, he reviewed in his mind scenes that he had lived out. What an amazing thought. The things we read about centuries later, Matthew had lived out just a little before he wrote about them. And when he gets to what we know as the 26th chapter of his account, everything is riveted to the cross. Everything. Which explains the length of the chapters, the longest in Matthew's account. Chapter 26, chapter 27. He covers it all in just two chapters, beginning with, well, what we might call the secret council where a conspiracy is being planned. And he takes us all the way to the nailing of the Savior to the cross and his burial and the tomb sealed shut. It must have been anguishing for Matthew in writing some of this to relive it. When he writes of Jesus having finished saying those things, he was there. And when he writes of the Passover that was upon them, he remembers. And Jesus makes the comment in verse 2, as you know, Passover begins in 2 days and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified. Didn't register. They didn't get it. If I count correctly, this is now the fourth time he's mentioned this. One time he even said, "I will be crucified and I will rise the third day from the dead.
They didn't get it.
So unaware were they of the whole scene that when they got to the tomb that was empty, stone rolled away, and there was no body, they stared, wondering, where have they taken him? We can be so like that. Before we look with condemnation on those men, let's realize how many messages have come and gone, and we've long since forgotten them. Could you even recall what was said 2 weeks ago or 1 week ago? Do not forget this day. Don't forget this time. Matthew is preparing us for the most gruesome, grisly scene of death known to mankind. A body hanging on a cross, alive, held by spikes until he breathes his last, and left there, many cases until the vultures came and insects fed upon the body. This is death at its worst. Because we're familiar with it, we can't smell it. If we're not careful, we won't even remember. So let's be careful. When Winston Churchill prepared his memoirs around World War II, beginning around 1948 and beyond, he looked back, and ultimately it covered six marvelous volumes, some of my most treasured in my library. I love the name of the fourth volume, The Gathering Storm. The Gathering Storm. In that volume, early on, he introduces us to the twisted, depraved mind of Adolf Hitler, and how through his deception and the maneuverings of events, he broke treaties and lied as he laid the groundwork for wiping out one country after another that had no idea what was coming. This conspiracy is like that. This is the gathering storm, if you will. And Matthew waves no flags. There aren't exclamation points along the way, but he trusts us as readers to enter into the scene and to feel it. How wrong to read this and not feel it. And so for some time I've felt, and now I invite you to feel this countdown to betrayal. Feel what it must have been like to have been a disciple. Feel what that meeting was like that Caiaphas led in that secret chamber. Every time Caiaphas is mentioned in the New Testament, he's working against Jesus. Every time. He hopes to weaken his message. He hopes to question his integrity. He hopes to spread doubt about his message. Caiaphas despises Jesus because he has the audacity to expose the hypocrisy of the chief priests and the scribes and Pharisees. How dare he do that to us? So they planned his murder. What they don't realize is that this death was planned before the foundations of the world. And the beautiful, mysterious plan of God now dovetails with the hatred of mankind. As we see God at work, bringing his son to the purpose of his coming. You see, unlike you and like me, unlike the two of us, when we're born, we're being born to live. Our hope is to live a full life. Jesus came knowing his life would be short. He came to die. And in light of that ordained plan, he knew he would never live to see age 35. Older than most of us, or younger than most of us, I should say. Younger than most of us. So Matthew changes the tone from one scene to another with very simple, smooth transitions that you'd miss if you didn't really feel what he's writing. After Jesus had finished saying all those things that he said on the mount, and the disciples are caught up in all of those things, he says to them, as you know, Passover begins in 2 days, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified. At that same time, the leading priests and elders were meeting at the residence of Caiaphas, plotting how to capture Jesus secretly and kill him. Can you imagine? Act as though you don't know the story. It's really the only way to read it, for it to impact you. Here is one who has never done one thing wrong in his entire life. Here is a man who has only healed those who were sick and ministered to those who were broken, touched and encouraged lives that had come to an end. And here are people ready to kill him. So short-sighted are they that the one thing they can imagine is revenge. Getting back. Thinking that by killing him, it's all over. When in fact, it sent the message around the world. From a human point of view, it appears tragic, but from a divine point of view, it is exactly as the Lord God planned for his Son when he came. He was to be crucified. So we read in verse 3 that they were meeting at the residence of Caiaphas. If this were a movie, the scene would fade from verse 2 and blend into the beginning of verse 3 as we're brought into this scene where there is the planning of the murder. And the one who carries the conversation is Joseph Caiaphas. Listen to a few background comments from one New Testament student. Caiaphas was high priest. We know very little about him, but we do know one most suggestive fact. In the old days, the office of high priest had been hereditary and had been for life. But when the Romans took over, high priests came and went in rapid series, for the Romans erected and deposed high priests to suit their own purposes. Between 37 BC and AD 67, when the last was appointed before the destruction of the temple, there were no fewer than 28 high priests. Caiaphas was high priest from AD 18 to AD 36. An extraordinarily long time for a high priest to last. And Caiaphas must have brought the technique of cooperating with the Romans to a fine art. Now go back to verse 3. At that same time, leading priests and elders were meeting at the residence of Caiaphas. There's our man. He's identified as the high priest. What concerned them? They were plotting how to capture Jesus secretly and kill him. but not during Passover. You and I, most of us, being Gentile, don't understand Passover. It isn't a festival on our calendar. But in those days, it was the major festival. Preparation in Jerusalem was extensive, and population in the city swelled enormously at Passover. According to Josephus, Jewish historian, some 256,500 sacrificial lambs were slain during a typical Passover festival. And because tradition required that no fewer than 10 people were to eat of one lamb, do the math, the number of celebrants could have exceeded 2 million. 2 million people swelling the ranks of the little city, little in our estimation, of Jerusalem, since they came from all over, including Galilee. Many admirers of Jesus who had witnessed his miracles and heard his teachings would have been in the crowd. They were sympathetic to his cause. It would be too risky to arrest him with so many of them around. They would riot, and that's the last thing Romans allowed. No public riots. In fact, their preference was no public meeting of any size. Suddenly the scene changes from a hostile group making dark plans to a gathering of joyful celebration. Look how Matthew writes. He moves from this room where murder is being arranged to a little village named Bethany, where one Simon is hosting a meal. Simon, known as Simon the leper. Here again, it's strange to our ears because we don't deal with leprosy in our culture today. Very little of it is ever even mentioned in our lifetime. Most of us could say we live and die and never knew one person with the disease. Not so in that day. And when one was a leper, one was an outcast for life, not even buried among the family. And the thought of his being cleansed of leprosy, never refer to one as being healed of it, but cleansed of it, was so impossible. Once you got it, you died with it. But Simon didn't.
In the middle of Simon's gathering, someone burst into the scene. And we'll pick up the story right here on our next program. You're listening to Insight for Living, and we're midway through a message from Chuck Swindoll that he's titled Countdown to Betrayal. Please stay with us through the remainder of this study, because Chuck will help us understand the gravity of Jesus' suffering on our behalf. And to discover a variety of resources available on this topic, please visit us online at insightworld.org. Well, did you know that in addition to these daily studies together, there's another way to find strength from God's Word? Insight for Living would be pleased to send you Chuck Swindoll's daily devotional. By receiving these inspirational emails, you'll have the promises of God's Word fresh on your mind throughout the day. To sign up, just follow the simple instructions at insight.org/devotional. For those who are ready to dig deeply into the Bible on your own, I'll remind you that every sermon Chuck delivers is complemented by Searching the Scriptures study notes. Like the devotional email, this resource is also free. And you can easily access the Searching the Scriptures guide by going to insight.org/studies. Your fellow listeners often write to tell us how God uses these resources and the daily program to help them grow. A listener from Kansas said, "Chuck, I stumbled upon a message from you today. My eyes were filled with tears as I opened my Bible and read Isaiah 6 along with you. I don't know that I would have made it today had I not found your message. Thank you. Well, in reading this note, our hope is that our monthly companions are encouraged. Your faithful month-by-month generosity is making an impact on those who rely on Chuck's teaching every day. And if you're prepared to become a monthly companion, just give us a call. If you're listening in the U.S., dial 1-800-772-8888. Or go to insight.org/monthly companion. In March 2022, Insight for Living Ministries is hosting an unforgettable journey to Israel, carefully planned to deepen your understanding of the Bible and draw you closer to God. Chuck Swindoll.
For thousands of years, no place has been more meaningful to God's children than the land of Israel. The rugged landscape reminds us to find refuge in God alone. The fertile valleys invite us to follow our shepherd. Jerusalem's position at the very center of the world announces the good news of Christ to every nation.
And now you can see Israel with Chuck Swindoll and Insight for Living Ministries, March 6th through 17th, 2022.
Every time I visited the Holy Land, I've returned home with a refreshed heart for God and a renewed vision for the world. Really, I mean it every time. And so I want you to have the same life-changing experience.
To learn more, go to insight.org/events or call this number, 1-888-447-0444. Insight for Living Ministries tour to Israel is paid for and made possible by only those who choose to attend. Our study of Jesus' countdown to betrayal continues tomorrow. Join us again Tuesday to hear Insight for Living with Chuck Swindoll.
The preceding message, Countdown to Betrayal, was copyrighted in 2017 and 2021, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2021 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.